Okay.
Be careful.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and on behalf of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you to Munchkin Land.
And readcomics.org.
Yay, Susie. Welcome, everyone.
I can't be the only one to sing something, though, this time.
Oh, I'm sure I'll be singing later. I have a lot of singing pent up from not being able to watch Glee for 2 weeks.
This is readcomics.org, the musical version written by Joss Whedon.
And we are doing one of our book club episodes. I'm Jason.
And Marty.
Florence.
Mike.
And Susie.
Susie, who sang our opening.
Singing Susie.
And the reason why she sang that song is because this episode, for our book club, we read Marvel's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, issues 1 through 8, based on the book by L. Frank Baum. This version is adapted by Eric Schanauer, who is quite the Oz scholar himself, has written a number of Oz stories, and Scotty Young, who is the artist. He did New X-Men for a while, kind of really left his mark on a number of characters in the Young X-Men, like Anoli and Pixie.
Pixie, who then got raped and bastardized by
Off topic.
But still, yes.
So
I don't know what Pixie looks like. What does she look like?
Well, she did look like a pixie. Now she looks like Hannah Montana.
So, first impressions, everybody. Did you? I was the one who picked this one. It was kind of almost a spur of the moment, random thing. I was over at Mike's place, and we were trying to decide what we should do for the podcast, and I saw one of the issues just sitting on his coffee table or somewhere in his apartment. Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, why don't we do that?" And everyone really liked the idea.
Yeah, I was excited because I've seen, you know, the art coming out of it as it was coming out, and just thought it looked great, but never picked it up just because, you know, I'd already read The Wizard of Oz and had so many other things on my pull list that I wasn't like, immediately drawn to it.
Well, I will come out and say, as great as the story and the source material and how, you know, beloved the material is, this is a case, I feel, in which the art surpassed the story.
Absolutely.
And totally made the series.
I completely agree, and that's why I was excited to read it as well. It's just I only glimpsed it, but it looked like something I wanted to look at.
Yeah. I think each panel was like could have been framed and hung in the gallery as artwork.
They also really worked to advance the story and characters. You know, were very vivid and these incarnations of these very familiar characters seemed very specific.
They actually did something in a couple of these issues, which is not common in comics anymore. And they were able to get Marvel to do it for these issues, which made me very happy.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to groan.
What is
Go
it?
Ahead. No, say it.
They had a couple of the, in I think it was two of the issues, they had centerfolds as the comic content itself was the centerfold of the magazine.
You mean there are no ads in the middle?
Yeah, no ads in the middle. Okay, so I guess I didn't notice that in some of them.
That's not what you meant?
No, it is what I meant, but on a few of them,
the center is like a full
It's
page.
One full panel, one full page.
I don't remember that.
It's the first image of the Emerald City itself, and then also I think the image of...
Is it necessarily in the center?
Yeah.
Well, there's a nice two centerfold. That
yeah.
It's an ad for Spider-Man. But, I don't know. I don't know what Jason's talking about. Apparently
but yeah, the fact that they had the
they didn't have ads as a center, which every magazine these days, every comic, seems to have.
3 out of 8 had ads in the center.
Okay.
At
well,
least.
What I am talking about specifically, let's just open them all.
There's
one of them.
I just went through all of them. None of them had it. Okay. But anyway, while Jason's trying to fuel his delusions, let's I'm curious to find out who is everybody's favorite rendition of the characters. Obviously, most people remember the movie version of The Wizard of Oz, and this is completely different than the movie version. But as far as both characterization and artwork, who do you think was the most interesting character?
In the series?
In the series.
Like
in the comic series.
Relating?
In the comic series.
Okay.
I really
I
felt
the
like
the witch was awesome.
Which one?
I love the witch.
Wicked Witch.
I really love the witch, yeah. I just thought her in that case, the characterization was just so different from what we're used to as whatever version of the Wicked Witch you may have read or watched before. It was so different that it was interesting to me.
Well, I will say, because I didn't really get to give my initial impressions, I just read the book, and this is a far more accurate version.
Oh, yes.
To the book.
Than the movie.
Than the movie.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I'd never read it before, and I kind of skipped the kids' books when I was a kid. I just, didn't
You were
read
reading
any.
Sartre right off the bat.
Well, I read The Hobbit in third grade,
okay.
And then The Lord of the Rings, and, I don't think I was reading kids' books before that, either. I was reading Dragonlance.
Okay. All right.
So, I'd never read it, and, it's fun and light and didn't take me very long, but, it's interesting. What I kind of liked about the book that I felt never was definitely not conveyed in the movie, that or the movie adaptations, any of them I don't think that I've seen, is all the different races of, people that live in
the
Oz.
Munchkins, the Quadlings, the Winkies,
right,
and
the Hammerheads.
Yep,
and how do you
pronounce it? Kalidas. Kalidas.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember exactly the letters either. But yeah, the bear and tiger creatures that the lion's afraid of. But yeah, you see all these different sort of groups of people, and it almost feels like Gulliver's Travels, like you're sort of getting introduced to all these different interesting races of people.
Well, and they left a lot of this stuff out of the movie. Like the Kalidas and the field mice, and they combined the witches of the north and the south.
Yeah,
but the I like the fact that they did go back to the source material for this. That and from what I can tell, just by reading it, they really did. I haven't reread the book for a long time. But they really did.
A lot of the dialogue is straight out of the book.
Yeah,
yeah, including.
Yeah, I think it is pretty much exactly the book adapted into a comic. I read it relatively recently, maybe within like 3 to 4 years ago, and it seemed familiar. Although there was stuff that I hadn't remembered at all, like the story of like the winged monkeys being enslaved by this weird sorceress lady, and the hammerheads, I totally forgot about those guys.
Yeah, that was totally in the book.
Yeah, I think my most recent Wizard of Oz adaptation is Wicked.
Yeah.
The book and the play, and that I found really dominate my perception of things now.
The thing about that is even that doesn't, that like sort of draws what it wants from the books and then also from the movies and everything else.
Well, the play draws more from the movies than the book did, but yeah.
Well, no, the book does as well.
The book does to a certain extent, yeah, but I think it relies more on the original source book and its own, it also goes its own way as well.
Right.
Yeah.
But there are definitely influences from the movie in it. But, Susie,
like
you didn't really get...
The two witches being sisters and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't really go into what you were going to say about the witch, Susie.
Oh, I really liked the look of the Wicked Witch in the story, because it wasn't, you know, the typical green face, big pointy hat, you know, the spindly kind of thing. It was really interesting and frightening looking.
Mm-hmm. Frightening looking, but then as you get into the characterization of her, she's kind of...
She's kind of insecure.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Well, and she's totally ineffectual. I mean, she doesn't...
Yeah.
She can't do anything to her because Dorothy has the kiss of the other witch on her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she's afraid of the slippers.
She can believe she can do something to her.
Right.
And she only... she can do magic because she makes that iron bar invisible.
Yeah.
But beyond that, everything else is like her control over the wolves, her control over the bees, her control over the... The
monkeys.
Villagers.
Right, the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The monkeys.
Yeah, it's interesting that the climax with that witch was come so early in this 8-part series.
Yeah.
You know, not having read the book recently, I forgot that she wasn't really the climax of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too. I felt like this suffered from the same thing the book suffered from, and that is, she gets home and it's over. Like, in literally a paragraph, you know, a sentence, and in this case, a panel. There's a single panel, and that's it.
Well, it's the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. It's not the Wonderful Wizard of Oz and Dorothy's reception back in Kansas after she gets home.
Right. No, I do think that it could have used a few more panels of the family welcoming her back and everything. But
right.
And
oh,
just like the last
that
page of it.
Popped into my mind for the very first time after, you know, reading the book however many years ago and then again and seeing the movie and all this thing. How exactly did Uncle Henry and Aunt Em get their house back?
Well, in the book, actually, it says that he rebuilt it.
Oh, okay.
So he had built, in the time she was gone, he had built a whole other house.
How long had she been gone?
That's a good question. I don't
Long
remember
enough
if that's
to build a house.
Longer than the kids were in Narnia.
Yes.
And, of course, in the movie, she just gets bonked on the head and
right.
dreams
it's
the whole
just
thing.
A dream.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing... you know, comparing the book to the movie, is that she really is a little girl in the comic.
And
yeah,
in
it's
the book.
True. Yeah.
Right, and
in
the
book,
exactly.
She's supposed to be a little girl, like, you know, 8 or so.
Well, and they had originally wanted to get Shirley Temple for The Wizard of Oz, and I don't remember why they switched to Judy Garland. But
I mean, she was at a different studio, and they wouldn't let her out of her contract.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think how different that would have been with Shirley Temple.
We'd be calling everybody friends of Shirley.
I found the what I was talking about. It's actually the only center spread that's a full panel is in issue 8, and it is for Glinda's palace.
Oh yeah.
And I thought that the first
yes.
image of the Emerald City was also a center spread, a full panel, but that's actually a few pages before that. But
there is one.
There
it's
is
really
one.
Cool.
It is.
I distinctly remember that as well. Like, I thought both of those were actually really startling, and yeah, I would
well,
love to have
and that's another thing.
Is
all of the architecture that Scotty Young draws is interesting. The witch's castle.
Wait, with the square trees. It's just
the
so
square tree. Yeah, the square trees. The witch's castle, which, you know, it's on that outcropping that totally physically impossible outcropping. And then he does such a good job with, like, these things that are very solid objects that are connected to spindly lines. Like the stork.
Mm-hmm.
When the stork
mm-hmm.
rescues them, the stork's neck is almost tentacular.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
And then the Wicked Witch, she's kind of this, with her coat on, she's very bulky with her coat on, and she carries that tiny little umbrella.
Well, in almost every scene where you see Dorothy's arms, they're, like, two lines that are almost touching, you know?
I remember being very struck by this, just by the artwork in the scene where they're caught in the river, and the scarecrow is trying to get the pole out of the river, but ends up getting pulled off of it, and it just felt very, like it was moving, like you could see it happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I remember the water in that scene.
Pictures,
really,
but it was just very evocative, I don't know.
Mike is looking at the page with the China village.
Country, yeah.
And the little China doll that
mm-hmm.
Dorothy wants to take with her. I'm just looking at it again, and when I first saw that image, I was thinking, okay, it's like a busty Snow White. And now that I'm looking at it again, I still see a busty Snow White crossed with Delta Burke.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Who's Delta Burke?
Old actress from the early 90s.
Very glam.
In that same sequence, the little clown that's been glued back together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was freaky looking.
Yeah,
except that I expected his face to have all kinds of fractures on it, and
yeah.
It really didn't. It was like his head.
You know, just looking at this, everything's very beautiful. It's well, I don't know if he painted it himself.
No, the colorist is
Jean-François
Baudou.
Yeah.
And
but
it looks like he used watercolors.
It does. But I think the thing that Scotty Young really brings to the art is just his expressiveness. Like, I'm looking at the lion walking through the China village and just how he's kind of you can see him tiptoeing and being very careful about where he steps, and it's something that in comics these days you don't see that level of expressive coming from a still panel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This has really been a huge labor of love for Scotty.
Hello, everyone. We return to your regularly... here's the deal. We lost a bunch of time, and it's my fault. An error popped up on the screen, and I clicked... I was just like, there's an error here. Hold on a second. And I click OK, and then the... It continued recording. Like, the waveform was still moving, and it looked, things were working.
Long story short is we lost the rest of our podcast.
We had technical difficulties.
So what was for you, like, a nanosecond was for us several weeks. it is now weeks later than we started. This is the longest podcast in history
with the
shortest recorded amount of time.
It's a couple of weeks and several viruses later.
Yes, everyone's been sick, so we haven't really been able to get together.
It's the Oz virus.
So what I thought we'd do is we'd just kind of like give some final thoughts about the Wizard of Oz, the Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and then just talk about what we've been reading lately.
And if you have any complaints about not getting your full Wizard of Oz podcast, direct them to Marty Greider at readcomics.org.
or Apple. Garage band support.
There you go.
I blame
sure
Garage
care.
Band. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
so we liked it. Go buy it.
That was pretty much it. That was a summary.
I mean, no, it was really, really good. And I think it's wonderful that Marvel put out something like this and that they're continuing to put out Wizard of Oz comics. I don't know if they're going to do all 14 books.
Well, the first issue of the Marvelous Land of Oz is out.
Oh, that's right.
And Marty, I picked it up.
Did you ever finish reading the book, The Marvelous Land of Oz?
I'm in the middle. I'm, like, toward the end of it.
Okay.
I picked up.
Because one of the things we talked about was that it's a, an early example of transgender literature.
You need to excuse Jason. He's got a cell phone call coming in. and Florence is currently texting, so. So obviously, this means a lot to a lot of our members.
you know what? I'm in pain, all right? My back hurts.
Yeah, the phone has nothing to do with that. No, The Marvelous Land of Oz is, for the first issue, marvelous, although it is very different in tone to the Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
I think the book is different in tone, too.
I mean,
I remember that when I tried to read it as a kid, that it felt very different.
I mean, you can tell it's in the same land, and it's the same kind of storytelling, but just like what you said, the story's so different than the...
Well, it started with, in the land, as opposed to in our world at that time, and then there in Ventaz.
One of the things that I kind of felt when I read these growing up is that The Wizard of Oz, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, was written in such a way that it really seemed like this was a one-off story that he was writing, and he told all the story he wanted to tell. And then he came back to it later and had really thought of a much deeper story that is going to be ongoing. And so it seemed more detailed. It seemed more like Oz comes to life in the Land of Oz than in The Wizard of Oz.
You know, I kind of noticed in reading it that it felt very much, and like it's said that, you know, this is basically him writing down the stories that he would tell to his kids. And it felt very much like he was filling in the details as needed, like when a kid would pipe up, well, how come? And he would think up of something quickly and write that down and, you know, not try to make it all that consistent. I could really feel that happening. And it didn't, like, he's very creative and they were interesting, fun details, but they did very feel like off the cuff, almost. And unfortunately it's been, you know, several weeks since I read it now that I can't really come up with an example of that. Maybe the reason why the flying monkeys can only be requested 3 times, he comes up with this whole elaborate story.
Yeah,
there's
kind
there,
of a sub story.
Very much like, you know, he had established the rule that they could only be as called 3 times, and then he got challenged and had to come up with a reason why.
Well, and I remember mentioning this in the podcast before, the dead podcast, but basically. In the introduction to the books that I've been reading on my iPhone, Baum.
Like lip balm.
Baum. Anyway, he says that, you know, he never intended to write anymore. That he had only conceived of the first story, and he got so much fan mail that, you know, 4 or 5 years later, he decided to revisit the world.
You can leave Oz, but Oz will never leave you. we're talking about the artwork of Scotty Young just before we got so rudely interrupted. There's a pretty cool part of the, one of the things I liked about the first issue of The Marvelous Land of Oz is that the boy Tip, I think his name is, is talking to Jack Pumpkinhead and kind of explaining to him, he's kind of recapping the events of the Marvelous or the Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and, you know, telling how Dorothy came and the wizard left and everything. the recap is kind of told over a 2-page spread, and you see the images as if they were drawn by a little boy like Tip would have drawn them. It's a really cute element to the story that's, I think, was a cool way for Scotty Young to approach it.
I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be any kind of delays for future issues or future stories because he just had a kid.
Oh.
And he's been talking on Twitter about how he hasn't, like, drawn for a week or anything like that.
That shouldn't cause any delays. Isn't having a kid mostly the mom's job? And cause more work for the mom than the dad.
Well, I just mounted our TV to the wall so our kids.
Well, like Florence was ever going to do that anyway. But that's the dad's job or the man's work.
That's what I'm saying.
Marty will have to continue to take out the garbage. So Scotty has been talking on Twitter about how he hasn't been drawing as much lately because of having a new baby in the house. He's doing the dad thing. He's playing with the kid and stuff like that.
Luckily they put the first six books under their wings already before releasing them, right?
Yeah, that's totally what Marvel does. I don't remember if we had talked about this in the earlier part of the podcast, but one of the things I really like about this is that it really does seem like a comic that I would want to give to younger readers
mm-hmm.
to get them interested in comics.
Mm-hmm.
I would most likely give it to them in the collected form
mm-hmm.
yeah.
as a nice book.
Has this one come out in a collected form yet?
Yeah,
yeah.
The hardcover.
Yep.
I have it.
Mm.
And you said that there's lots of extra stuff in the back, didn't you?
There's lots of sketches and a little bit of commentary, and there's an interesting introduction, like halfway about Baum and halfway about Schanauer. Yeah, but it's mostly the story, and then there's maybe like 5-7 pages of sketches afterwards.
Cool. I also think I mentioned, but I'm not sure, that I'd like to pursue getting Schanauer as a guest of honor for a future Gay Lexicon.
Mm.
I think he's located out of Boston, but I'm not sure.
Mm.
And I think he would be an awesome guest for Gay Lexicon. He has his own work, The Age of Bronze, which is about the Trojan War and Greek myth and stuff like that. And then he's written so much Oz stuff.
Except he's extremely homophobic, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Actually, I believe he is a big homo.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to say The Age of Bronze is about
one of them
like, really tan
homos.
Guys on the beach.
But,
well, yeah, the Trojan War was all these tan guys on the beach.
You
often oiling each other up. And
they're involved in 1,000 ships, so there had to be some kind of water.
Yeah.
Well, they were all stabbing each other, right?
Oh, so,
awkward silence.
Relationships.
So,
back
side,
to Wizard,
yes.
Back to Oz.
How do we turn to that?
I think one of the last things that we talked about was we had said something about everyone's favorite aspect. Or maybe it was favorite representation of Oz, whether this comic or a book,
yeah.
Or whether it was a movie or, you know, something along
wasn't
those lines.
Wasn't yours The Wiz?
I love The Wiz. I really do. I think they did The Wiz at my high school when I was, after I graduated, of course.
They definitely did at mine, and I remember seeing it and liking it a lot better than I had the movie.
I recently watched the Muppet
Wizard
of Oz.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, how was that?
That was rather disappointing in my opinion.
It was a bit painful, yeah. I mean, some aspects of it were cool, and what was interesting, actually, for me was, having just read this comic and the actual book, it was actually more true to the book than the original 1939 movie. But not, like, super true or anything, you know?
Well, they left a lot of stuff out of the 39 movie.
Right.
They didn't have
basically
the
whole right the whole journey after getting to Oz. I mean, because that's not where the book ends. Like
no,
in fact, that's only like halfway through. Like they have to then go, they have to
Glinda's palace.
Right.
Yeah. After returning from the Wicked Witch, the movie's over.
Right.
Click your heels 3 times, you can go home.
Yeah.
No China characters, no,
yeah,
anything like that. Did they have?
The I really love the China.
Although the movie tacks on like a little like
no.
20-minute plot at the beginning with her in Kansas that really isn't there at all.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you know what the Muppet Wizard of Oz does that as well. And in fact, like that's the weird part about it is that her motivation is that she wants to be a musician. And it's like, I think it's Alaya is Dorothy.
Oh
so,
my
I mean,
god.
Like she, like, you know, is obviously musical. And there is music in the movie.
Is it new songs?
It's all new, yeah.
Okay.
It's not like...
No Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
No. And yeah, so then she's trying to go to the wizard who will make her a big star.
Hmm.
She's not trying to go to the wizard to get home. Until about halfway through, and then it turns around, and she's like, you know, I really do love it.
Well, isn't that a little bit what The Wiz is like as well?
I don't really remember. I haven't watched The Wiz in, you know, since I was a kid.
The other sort of painful part about the Muppets version is that the ruby slippers are Manolos.
A what?
Manolo Blahniks. Those explicitly stated.
Oh.
This is a
design,
shoe.
Designer shoes.
It's a type of particularly uncomfortable, spiky heeled, Sex and the City shoe. That are really overpriced.
But they're silver, not ruby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she would not deign to wear them.
Did
a celebrity.
Did you look for Under the Rainbow when we were looking at Under the Rainbow? It is a Wizard of Oz story in that you have the whole going from Kansas to Oz, or in this case LA, to be in the movie The Wizard of Oz, and at the end the character gets knocked out and wakes up and he's back in Kansas again. It has Carrie Fisher in it, and Chevy Chase, and Billy Barty, and it's. I remember it being really funny.
Yeah.
I think if I watched it now, it may not be quite as funny. But I mean, it had a good cast, and it was about the making of The Wizard of Oz.
It was called Under the Rainbow?
Under the Rainbow. And one of the things that they touched on in it was a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff in the making of the 39 film, where there was a hotel, which is where all the Munchkins stayed, and they were completely out of hand, and you know that they wrecked the place. And
I do vaguely remember Carrie Fisher like referencing it on a Dinner for Five episode or something, saying that between that movie and The Return of the Jedi, she had worked with like every dwarf actor working in Hollywood for the last 15 years or so.
Billy Barty was in it and played a German spy. And then there was a Japanese spy as well. And so they had this whole spy thing happening behind the scenes since it was 39,
mm-hmm.
or 38, or whenever they actually were making the movie. But I don't even know if it's available to get at all on like VHS or DVD or anything.
I remember seeing like some making of special about the making of the movie. Like, this doesn't really have that much to do with the comic book, but it's just something I remember. So there was a lot of like problems actually going into making that movie. Like, they had to recast the Tin Man because the first person they cast, the makeup they used on him, like nearly killed him.
Yep, that was Jed Clampett.
The Wicked Witch nearly caught on fire when she did one of her, or did catch on fire when she did one of her like entrances, and they had to put her out. And
she
got badly burned.
Did she also get very sick from the makeup?
I don't remember that part.
The Scarecrow's he actually had like some sort of like fabric or something glued to his face.
Right, and he got scars from it on his neck.
Took hours to attach, and the
same
lion was a real lion skin that was heavy, and
Bert
Lahr was like sweating unbelievably during the whole thing because he was wearing a real lion skin.
It didn't like the first director get fired, and they had to like reshoot everything. It just apparently it was a really difficult production.
And the kid that played Toto, they had to like totally chop off its limbs to get him that small and.
Don't laugh. Don't encourage him.
It wasn't funny. It was tragic.
I'm just encouraging him.
Anyway, we kind of went a little bit off topic again.
It was much, much less dramatic to produce.
What's that? I didn't catch
it. By all indications, this version that we're actually supposed to be talking about
was much less difficult to produce.
Yeah.
Presumably,
anyway.
Well, and I was always saying, you know,
there weren't too many bad paper cuts.
Scotty has loved working on the Oz stuff. I mean, he went and he read all the books and did all kinds of research and he's talked so much about doing this stuff online, on podcasts, on Twitter, and he really is loving this. And I think it, you know, that he will consider this to be his, like, masterpiece.
Yeah.
Well, that's well-deserved.
Since running on first-name basis with him.
You know, in the world today, we are on a first-name basis with just about every celebrity out there.
Okay.
Through Twitter.
So he's reached
friends.
Diva status.
Well, no, I'm saying that
it's like Angelina and Cher.
When you talk about a celebrity, do you refer to Mr. Cruz?
No, but I usually say their full name. Tom Cruise. I just call him Tom.
Oh, I'm Facebook friends with Tom. Oh, no, wait, that's MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace.
It's all sugar. You know, we're that close. It's all, you know, sweetie pie, sugar, pumpkin.
Actually, you know, I am first name basis with Neil.
Neil.
Which one?
Gaiman?
Neil Patrick Harris, of course.
Oh.
Actually, no.
Yeah, I went to Gaiman.
This is
I was thinking Stevenson.
Neil Stevenson.
This is completely off topic.
Oh,
but
my.
We did
like this
talk
whole
about,
podcast hasn't been.
We talked about Twitter a little bit. Has anybody been following Neil Patrick Harris on Twitter?
No.
I hate Twitter.
I'm not
hilarious.
Following anybody on Twitter.
Neil Patrick Harris just recently started Twittering, and he talks a lot about how this whole thing is new to him, and he'll be doing his Twitter, his tweet, and it'll just end mid-word.
Because he ran out of...
He'll say something like, yeah, getting to figure out this 140 character limit is really hot. But he, yeah... Really, really fun
okay.
on Twitter. I recommend following him.
What character would you cast him in the production of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz?
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
I would have to say the Scarecrow.
Yeah, I think
maybe
that's
the
obvious choice. I think you could do the Wicked Witch of the West, though.
You'd make a really good wizard.
Cops are coming to get you, Susie. Hide.
You know, and that's the thing, is that there are a lot of roles that he could play in that very well.
Well, he could do like Frank Morgan did and just play like seven different roles.
I was thinking he should play all the roles.
Could do Dorothy.
Could one man
yeah,
show.
He could totally do Dorothy.
I could see him doing the Wicked Witch of the West.
He could do Toto.
If
you're
listening
chop off his
to
limbs.
This, we recommend, Neil, that you do
yeah.
a one-man show, The Wizard of Oz.
It can't be any worse than whenever Jim Carrey does
yeah,
that sort
of
thing.
One-man version of The Wizard of Oz, that would be cool.
I know, that would put him in a league with Jim Carrey and Eddie Murphy, and I don't think he wants to stoop that low. Because those are two actors that always do roles where they play every part in the movie or something.
Well, alright, you know, but Eddie Murphy, some of his movies where he's done that have been pretty good.
Coming to America,
yeah. Yeah, but
and
he also...
Even the first Nutty Professor was not that bad.
Okay.
Well, and there were movies even before that where I thought they were brilliant. I can't remember any of them.
Clearly brilliant.
Or maybe between Coming to America and Nutty Professor.
Well, Coming to America I'll give you, but I think that's mostly because of Arsenio Hall. But and James Earl Jones.
I forgot he was in that.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he was the king.
Yep. And the other guy, the McDowell guy.
Oh yeah. That was
the guy from Good Times.
Good Times, yep.
Oh.
That was such a good movie.
And my
favorite production of The Wizard of Oz. Which kind of parallels. No, not really.
No, not really.
They leave home to go to another land, and then
well,
they
we definitely talked about Wicked in our previous podcast.
Yes, we talked about Wicked.
Yeah. Everyone agreed Wicked's great, so now
yes.
we're done with that.
So any final thoughts or things that were brilliant that got cut off that we want to capture before we move
well,
on?
Well, clearly everything
you
said afterwards.
The square trees and the squiggly neck on the bird and
yeah.
the scarecrow
just
getting stuck in the river. I'm just trying to hit everything now.
Everything about the art was just amazing. Like,
yeah.
We had said that every panel looked like you could blow it up and have it framed as
yeah.
a print.
This is I think this series is a great you know, tool to say what is good about comics. So you could present that to any comic naysayers saying that it's not really a valid form of storytelling and say, no, look at this and tell
yeah.
me it's not.
So, but then they would just say, well, this already existed. This was a book. You know, you have to present that kind of an argument, you need unique work.
I don't think so.
Well,
I think you can, you know, many, to say that would be to take the Wizard of Oz movie and say that that's not a good example
if
movie
you pointed,
tell.
If
movie
you
tell.
Pointed to that
and
said,
Wizard of Oz is considered
is
to be one of the
movies are great, I would be like, well, you know.
Okay, Wizard of Oz is considered to be one of the all-time great movie classics. So I think many people do that. Point to the Wizard
Those
of Oz movie.
Are dumb.
Okay. All right. No,
so
I think
you hate watching The Wizard of Oz as a kid, Marty?
No, not at all. And I'm saying is that you can't point at a derivative work and say that exemplifies the reason a given media is valid.
Except
I think it can.
I would say that this isn't a derivative work. I think, you know,
what?
in how you normally think of derivative, like obviously it is derived, but it's an adaptation. It's not, you know.
But this is less of an adaptation than the 1939 movie. I mean, this is a direct, you know, like almost a scene-for-scene translation of the book.
Well, okay, there you go. In the book, there are limited illustrations. So, to do this adaptation, this comic book, granted, the plot was the same, the words were the same, but
the creators
getting
had
the whole world to exist.
They had to interpret the land of Oz in their own
way. And not in a way,
way.
Of where it's just like taking those illustrations from the book and making, you know, taking the exact characters and the exact way the land looked and then extrapolating. This was creating them completely fresh.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's not great and that's not valid. I totally think it's a great thing to do, and it's beautiful, it's a wonderful piece. However, if you were arguing to me that comics were valid, and I, you know, as a naysayer, did not believe that they were, that would be a reason for me to discredit this particular
piece. I can see your point. I can see your point in that you're saying that as something to hold up to the world and say, see, comics
this is
are
what
great.
Comics are possible. This is what comics are capable of. I
You're
don't see why
that
that's.
It would be better to show them something like
something original.
I'm saying
why
no.
The Last
I think
Man
I
or,
think this is a better better thing to do than something original because you can say that
it's a gateway.
Yeah. There's that. It's also, you know, even any classic story can be adapted
well,
to a comic book format and still hold up to the original.
Look how much you know how fresh what fresh life they put into a story that's over a century old.
Yeah.
And now I'm blowing my nose very, very loudly. And you should just be happy that I haven't been doing this the whole time because, oh my god, there's just lots and lots of stuff coming out of my nose.
I wonder if you
there
and Florence have the same disease.
Were you Skyping recently?
Different colors and everything in there.
Oh,
different
okay.
colors, really? Is it like Technicolor?
It really is, and that's all I'm going to say.
Are there ruby slippers?
Not
Ruby sparkles.
The snot is like, it's no place like home. There's no place like home.
It's like looking into the crystal ball that showed what Auntie Em and Uncle Henry.
I don't know that I would say, you know, hold this up and say, see, this is what everyone who hasn't been reading comics has been waiting for. But I would hold it up and say, this is a good comic and this is good for your kids,
mm-hmm.
This is good for everybody, that everyone will find something in this to take away from it.
I would agree with that.
Except for the people who think anything that would have a witch in it is the work of the devil for advocating Satanism and going to destroy the children, oh my god!
Yeah, there are people like that.
Well, isn't it?
That's Sarah Palin.
I mean,
absolutely.
What is the message of The Wizard of Oz? I think it's all about how deception it will get you everywhere.
Well, it didn't get Dorothy home.
No, but
in fact,
the
deception,
wizard, like,
deception
getting home.
made her stuck in Oz.
What the?
Because the wizard totally deceived her. And instead of you know taking this time to work on a plan to get her home,
yeah, but he got home.
Well, he didn't want to go home necessarily.
I think he did.
Not until she kind of planted the seed of that idea.
Well, and blew his cover.
Yeah.
I don't think she blew his cover either. Like, no one knew that he was the wizard after she left. She left Oz. or she left the Emerald City and then she came back.
There was more potential for it. You could feel it. His little fragile position was becoming more and more.
Just wait. He'll be back.
Oh, really?
I
did not know that.
It's a few books down the road.
Spoiler alert.
The wizard. A few,
something
well, yeah,
12 spoiler, century ago.
I think it's in the fourth book. The wizard and Dorothy both come back.
Are they husband
the wizard,
and wife?
Still not really a wizard? Or by
he's
then,
a humbug.
He comes back, is he a wizard?
He's a humbug. He's still... You know, they kind of look at him fondly as kind of, you know, a kindly uncle type person who's very smart and everything.
The Jewish would leave right away.
But he does, in one of the later books, he is going to start learning magic from Glinda. Glinda's going to teach him real magic.
Mm.
Fascinating.
They should now make a comic book adaptation of Gregory Maguire's Wicked. And
that would be interesting. I'd see that. I wouldn't want to see it in this art style, though.
No, I think you'd have to have different creators do it.
Yeah.
Maybe DC can come in and trump them for that.
Oh, that would be funny.
I see it more of an IDW production.
Yeah, probably more IDW.
Yeah.
Has everyone caught up with the episode of Glee with the Wicked song now?
Of course not.
I did. Oh, my God.
I am way behind in Glee.
That's also on the soundtrack.
There's two soundtracks now.
Well, it's on volume one of the soundtrack.
Okay.
Why can't I remember her name?
Kristen Chenoweth.
Unnecessary. Rachel?
No.
That's the actress.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's the character. It's Rachel.
Oh, well, her and Kurt.
Jennifer Aniston.
Do a duet on it. Mm-hmm. Like in the TV show, and it's amazing.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Good. All right.
Any last Wizard of Oz thoughts?
Buy it for your loved ones for Christmas.
Or for yourself. And be greedy, it's okay.
It's Christmas after
if you,
all.
If you love yourself,
get yourself a present.
The wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Or buy us some.
Because
the perfect word for the art. And pretty much for the story in general, but for the word, it's just charming.
Mm.
Yeah?
Like, that's the best description I can think of it, is charming.
Right, I mean, in addition to being beautiful, it really does have spirit and, you know, brings these characters to life.
Like, you just smile when you see it. And that happened for me just seeing, you know, the early advertisements of it. Like, I saw it, and I was just like, that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what, like, the Gump looks like and the Wogglebug. And
they have a little preview sketch of them in the margins of the, the first page.
Oh, really?
Of the
Wogglebug, too?
Of all of them.
And the Sawhorse?
Yeah. But I don't think that's how they're going to look in the comic, though.
Mm.
I think it's more of, like, what you, kind of like the sketches you saw in the books of them.
Interesting.
I'm remembering things that came up in the last podcast that I don't think we've hit, and it's like a kind of leap for the Lost podcast a little bit.
I know.
Yes, this is still a shadow of what once was.
Yeah.
We were so much wittier last time.
This is
we were
like,
very articulate and smart, and if anybody believes that, then...
Well, we all have excuses.
This is like podcast The Next Generation.
Encounter in every way.
Encounter at Farpoint.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Wait till the next episode or the next season of podcast.
Yeah. So before we move on, should we decide what the next podcast book club is going to be?
Well, who gets it?
I think
so
it's either Marty or Mike.
Jason, this was Jason's choice.
This was Jason. So who's next?
I think Mike's next.
I thought it was Marty.
I don't know. What did we do last?
Echo.
Yeah,
which
okay.
Was Florence's,
right?
Right.
Well, we'll decide that offline.
Here, we can
and we'll
promotion
post it.
Vote for it right now.
Oh, goddamn.
So Mike got it.
I don't know. Did
yeah,
I?
No, two out of three.
Okay, all right.
So I get it?
It's Mike's choice.
Cool.
And you can think about it and get back to us.
I have a few ideas already. Although one of them is only a couple issues in. I wanted to wait till we fix them.
Well, let's announce at the end of this podcast. Let's talk about what we're reading now. This week there was a Dr. Horrible comic.
Yes. Yeah, sir. I was disappointed. I opened up the comic and there was no music.
No. I picked up the comic, but I haven't read it yet.
Was it an original story, or was it the reprints of what they've been doing online?
It was original.
Cool.
Yeah,
and I'll get it next time I go to the store.
It's written by Jed.
My first, I thought it was Zach.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. One of the
other Whedons.
Yeah.
Yes, one of the lesser Whedons.
I'm sure that's how they're known at Thanksgiving.
Yes. Well, you know what?
Josh should have
plenty of time on his hands now because he suddenly doesn't have any work to do in the TV land.
Is Dollhouse officially canceled?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Again?
They're going to air the remaining episodes.
Yeah, but those are already done. They've stopped production on it.
Why
so, he's got more time
for
Fringe.
Season,
not
they're
Fringe.
Going to air all 13, but there aren't going to be any more.
He's got more time to revive Firefly now.
You know,
all you have to do is get Castle canceled. So everybody stop watching Castle.
I would be perfectly happy to have Firefly come back.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was very interested in Dollhouse and where it was going to go, but it wasn't as up to that level of quality as Firefly.
Unless,
even though it eventually had more episodes.
Yeah. Unless things change in this person's current show, Alan Turdyke should be free now, I would guess.
Well, they didn't make it definitive.
Yeah.
Who's that? What?
Wash.
Wash?
He may
from
or may
Firefly.
Not.
Oh.
He's on the new V show.
Well, he's died twice now.
He's died twice now.
In three episodes?
I know. Maybe that was part of the problem that they decided to retool. It's like, what are you doing? Why is the big reveal that he is still alive and in the next episode you kill him again?
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to keep doing
comic.
That. Maybe
they must have put out a V comic.
Yeah, Marvel Comics used to have a V comic. I read a few of them.
Was it,
when I first picked it up.
Expanding on what was on?
Yeah, it was based on the TV series.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, I remember the art being just god awful.
So it was about the same as the TV series?
Probably. I specifically remember this visitor named Lydia, who was kind of Diana's either equal or her immediate boss or something like that. With this
she had lots of tattoos, didn't she?
No. Why would
Lydia
she?
Lydia the tattooed lady. Just continue.
Lydia the tattooed
lady. Lydia, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia
oh,
the tattooed lady.
Oh my god.
Hey, we said there was going to be more singing in it.
That's right. We should all sing a song together for the clothes.
Not Lydia the tattooed lady.
No, it should be from The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. We could sing
I
somewhere
did
along
sing
the
something
rainbow.
For.
Yeah.
Oh, and we lost it.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Maybe we should recreate that. Jason?
No, not right now.
Go.
The muscle relaxants haven't completely kicked in.
I guess
but
that's
yeah,
a good thing.
So back to V, the old comic. And she was also on the TV show, too, but she was just this blonde chick that always sparred with Diana. I kind of remember that.
I vaguely remember that. I remember also their costumes were horrible. Like the the suit, the costumes that the aliens wore.
The red suits.
Yes, that they were
when
like...
When did the original series air?
83.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I never ever saw a single episode of it. And that would be why, because I was 3 years old.
Well, now we have sirens on this end.
Mm-hmm.
Cops are fast. I remember me and my brother got in trouble when V the Final Battle, the second miniseries, aired. And we were sent to bed before we could watch the final episode.
Oh,
what?
And we threw a riot. I remember how we actually ended up watching it, but we did end up seeing...
I suppose you can't really do that for kids anymore. You can't say, oh, I'm going to make sure you don't see this because there will be any number of ways for you to...
There will be all sorts of ways for them
I mean, if you don't have TiVo, then you've got... Many avenues on
iTunes internet. And Netflix.
Well, and yeah, I remember.
And
watching my friend bring up a baby on TiVo, and he would go to his grandmother's house and be like, rewind. Something. Just, he never lived in a world where you couldn't skip ahead.
I remember another incident where me and my brother got... No, we didn't get in trouble. It was just that there was a Godzilla movie on the same time when they had the Dallas episode where JR was shot. And they were revealing who shot him. Oh. And my dad wanted to watch that, and we wanted to watch the Godzilla movie. It was Godzilla versus King Kong. So that was another...
I remember that from...
Like, that was in 3D, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it?
I don't think it was in 3D.
You had to go and get your 3D glasses from the 7-Eleven or
something. Yeah, I remember that being that the creature from Black Lagoon was always in 3D. We had to go to the gas station to get the 3D glasses. Maybe it was.
I definitely remember, like, it might not have been Godzilla. It might have just been King Kong. That was
I think it might have been King Kong. I don't think it was the Godzilla versus King Kong.
Well, King Kong fights a dinosaur in the original one,
And
I just remember, like, it was such a big deal. It was, like, the first 3D movie on TV or something. I don't know if that's true, but there was some big thing.
I do remember the creature from the Black Lagoon being 3D, because I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
I think Marvel did an adaptation of the Dino De Laurentiis King Kong, the one from back in the early 80s or late 70s that had was it Jeff Bridges? I don't know.
I know Jessica Lange was in it.
Yeah, she played the Fay Wray
character.
And he climbed the World Trade Center instead of the Empire State Building.
Oh.
They probably have pulled that movie from circulation.
And they've
they've edited
digitally
out
altered
the,
it.
They edited out the Twin Towers
to put in the Freedom Spire or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, so.
No, they just cut out that scene and then Trent put in the 1934 or whatever scene. So you just go straight from like color in the 70s to black and white 30s. And,
you know, Steven Spielberg's allowed to put in images of the World Trade Center into his movies. So,
you said that so, like...
Nobody allows Spielberg to do anything. He allows you.
So what have you been reading lately, Susie?
I went to the comic book shop last week or so, and I realized, like, most of the stuff that I have been reading that, on my pull list has I've either stopped or it isn't, you know, has ended on its own, and really right now all I'm getting is, Buffy and Angel and Fables and all the Fables spin-offs, with the exception of, I think, everything, my entire stack was Buffy and Angel, Fables, and then Astro City.
Hmm.
Wow, we had a huge stack this week.
Yeah, but it was
but
2 weeks.
I gotta say, they were all really good.
Yeah.
I just read the most recent trade of Jack of Fables, where they had the war between Mr. Revise and the Bookburner.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that it was kind of a bit of a letdown. It wasn't... It definitely wasn't the, you know, battle between the Fables and the Adversary.
No. And, well, that's not what Jack of Fables really is. Jack of Fables isn't about the plots and the mythology so much, even though it, like, has invented a whole bunch of mythology. It's really about the jokes.
Yeah. I did like to see... I liked it when I saw the pathetic...
Fallacy. Yeah, pathetic fallacy. I love him.
He got angry and like everything in
yeah.
the Golden Bowels came to life and started
mm-hmm.
just attacking. And the library fought with Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
But so I guess both at the end of the last two, the Fables trade and the Jack of Fables trade, now it leads into the crossover.
And the crossover very much more in the tone of Jack of Fables than of the regular Fable series.
Okay. Do you have all the issues for that?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder when the next trades will be out.
I think I saw, like, the pre... I can't remember what that word is. The... I don't know.
How many issues...
The previews for that, for the trade... within the next few months.
How many issues is the crossover?
How many issues?
Yeah.
9.
Wonder if they'll...
3 issues of Fables, 3 issues of Jack of Fables, and 3 issues of Just for the Crossover, a line called The Literals.
I wonder if they'll just put that out as a single trade itself.
I think so. I think that's what they're going to do.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. It really is self-contained. And it goes from, you know, Fables, Jack, Literals, Fables, Jack, Literals, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But it reminds me. Bill Willingham, who is the mastermind behind Fables, is going to be writing an Arc of Angel.
An Arc
starting
of,
next month.
Of what?
Angel.
Oh, really? For IDW?
Yeah. Hmm?
Or is that... Is that IDW or is that Dark Horse?
IDW.
Okay. Huh.
And I was just thinking, because, like, I really, really enjoyed the last arc of Angel, and I wish I could remember his name right now, but the guy who wrote After the Fall came back and wrote just this cracktastic, geektacular kind of two-issue run, and I really hope he comes back again, because it was awesome.
Have I read that?
Not yet. I've put it in the box for you, but I haven't sent out the box. But it's just full of total, not just, you know, Angel Buffy geek, but just geek references in general. And this guy who's been doing that is really good at that. And I think it's kind of funny, because it just sort of put in mind, because the person who had written the arc before him, well, you know, really did away with all the geekiness and focused in on the, you know, Angel as a hero and trying to atone and working with a team, and I didn't like it nearly as much. But I think it's there's probably quite a polar thing of the Angel fans who that's what they like and that's what it's about for them, as to opposed the ones like me who really, really like the geekiness and like a healthy dose of spike and mockery, and that's what this particular guy is really, really good at. And gosh, I wish I could remember his name, because I want to say it because I like him. I think his first name's Scott.
It's a day of praising Scott's.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up, so you might hear a little bit of clicking. But anyway, so I hope he comes back and does it again. But on the other hand, Bill Willingham, who's doing both Fables and Jack of Fables, has been really, really good at both, you know, doing the plots and the characters and the really interesting mythology for Fables, and then just being really cracktastic humor for Jack of Fables. And so maybe he'll be able to sort of combine them both.
He's someone who I've always kind of liked. Back in the 80s, he was doing a series called Elementals, and I forget what what label it was for. I want to say Comico, but I'm not sure. And it was an adult comic. It had, you know, sexual situations. It had...
Brian Lynch. It wasn't a Scott at all. It was Brian Lynch, and I should have known that.
Okay.
But he's really great, and I hope he comes back. And there's a lot more geekiness.
This Elemental series that Bill Willingham did was amazing. And I don't think it's ever been reprinted, and I'm not even sure who would really have the rights to it. I mean, I think it was a creator-owned thing that Bill Willingham did, but especially with the stuff he does for Vertigo being so popular, and the stuff for other DC, like some of the villains titles that he did, I would think that the time would be right for him to reprint the Elementals. So
what is
good.
The premise?
It's a very Fantastic Four-like premise, but you basically had a team of heroes whose powers were all elemental powers. You had fire-based one, a water-based one, an air-based one, and an earth-based one. And I can only really remember a few of the characters. There was Tommy, who was the earth-based one, who was a very thing-like character. Like, he would turn, if I remember correctly, he would turn from a boy into a big dirt thing that was super strong and everything. And then they had a really interesting villain called Captain Something. But he was a vampire. And I don't remember who drew it, but at the time it was immensely popular for an indie comic, for, you know, a non-Marvel, non-DC comic. And this is before Image, even. This was, and again, it had adult situations in it. There was sex stuff going on. So, of course, you know, as a kid, I was like, ooh, look at this. I shouldn't be reading this, but...
But I can't stop.
I can't stop. I should look and see if I can find any of those issues at, like, conventions, because it was really good. But yeah, so Bill Willingham has been doing great stuff for the past couple of decades now.
I found it on Wikipedia.
Elementals?
Mm-hmm.
Does it say if there have been anything reprinted from it?
Let's see. It says... hold on. Elementals, a superhero comic by Bill Willingham. It was an American dark superhero comic first published in 1984 and created by Bill Willingham, for which he was both writer and artist.
Okay, yep.
It was reasonably long-lived comic series and published by Comico Comics.
Okay.
Let's see.
How many issues did it run?
Publication history. From 1984 through 1996 was its run,
what?
Although there were a couple of gaps and years between there.
I was going to say, 96, wow, I didn't think it ran that late.
Maybe it came back after you weren't looking.
Well, there was a gap between 1993 and 1995. Between Volume 2 and Volume 3, and Volume 3 is only 3 issues long.
And I'm betting that it wasn't Comico at the end either.
It doesn't say... trade paperback collection is The Elementals, The Natural Order for 160 pages. Printed in November 1988. And just prints 1 through 5 of Volume 1.
Yeah. How many issues was it?
Volume 1 was 29 issues long. Volume 2 was 26 issues long. And Volume 3 is 3 issues long.
Okay.
So there's a lot not printed in trade paperback.
Yeah.
And the trade paperback doesn't seem like it was... It doesn't say that it was reprinted many times, so...
Yeah.
It could have been, it just doesn't say that.
I wonder how much those issues are going for, if you can even find them.
I bet if they were that popular, I bet you could find them in back issue bins.
Probably.
In the back bins... Beanbacks.
Did you stop by the Comic-Con when it was over Gay Lexicon weekend?
Yeah. How
was it?
Same as it always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
We went there for very long. We ran into Chad. Hi, Chad!
You gave him crap for not coming to Gay Lexicon.
There's going to be a huge
Chad was
going to
go to Gay
Lexicon in Chicago in April. Like, in downtown Chicago in April.
I don't believe it. That new thing, the one that's being put on by the New York Comic Con people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to make it out to that one, although I have a couple of big trips I'm planning.
It sounds like it'll be, like, maybe a month to 2 weeks after Lawrence and Marty's child emerges. So I don't know if I will actually be in town when it's on.
After it claws its way out.
To the closest orifice it can find.
Yeah, if I need to go vampire for this, I will.
So you say a month after. How are you? You're coming here for?
We don't know really yet, because I have to take the time off work, and then, you know, if I come too early and the baby doesn't know, I have to go home. And then if I. So I'm going to try, I don't think I'm going to plan to be there when the baby's born. I think I'm going to plan to be there
soon after as possible.
So basically
yeah.
You wait and then you put in your time off request for the next available weekend.
I may just plan to be there within a week to 2 weeks afterwards.
Okay.
Well, yeah, the good thing about Susie's job is weekend isn't quite, is actually not the best time to travel.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well,
that sounds like a great cue to get out of town.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I would like to get to Chicago for that comic convention. I know a lot of people who are
looking... looks like it's going to be very, very big, and it's going to be downtown. That's all I can
tell. Well, and that's the thing, is I know a lot of people who are like saying, screw Wizard World, we want this new one happening.
Well, you know, Florence isn't going to be working, so maybe you and I can go. Will you take the car?
Well, Susie will be here, so, you know.
Well,
I guess it's motivated.
We can, me and Jason can tell Florence later that, yeah, we drugged Marty and dragged him along against his will. He really didn't want to go.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting, when you said two of you, like you, Florence, and the weak-old baby, to the giant Comic-Con.
Yeah, road trip.
Hey, my sister brought
we could
her
bring Florence
infant.
Instead of Marty.
My sister brought her infant back to the U.S. from Switzerland, got on the plane, and you had a child who had recently gotten over chicken pox and still had all the spots.
Oh.
Can you imagine someone else being on that, just sitting there in that
plague?
Yeah. Who was it? Scott Kurtz from PvP recently had a thing on his website about Wizard Entertainment and basically telling them to go to hell.
I've been saying that for years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with letting go of Wizard World and going to something better.
He says, he's like, and take me off. You don't need to send me any more free copies of your boobs magazine.
Nice.
Wait, we know someone who gets a subscription to Wizard, don't we?
Yes, we do. To Boobs
Surprising,
magazine. And
he does like Boobs.
He is
a lot.
Into the Boobs.
Yes.
Yes.
I myself have been reading, borrowing Marty Florence's copies of PS238, which I think is one of the best comics out there.
Is there any new ones?
There's a new trade.
I want it.
Available at a comic book store near you.
Marty, have you finished it?
I have not quite finished it yet.
I
have like one episode
days,
left.
Bring it to Susie.
Oh, that's true.
Well,
you can bring it to her.
I should bring it on the trip is what I should do.
Yeah.
And then you can read it, Susie, while over this trip.
Turn
so then in. They can bring it back so I can read it.
Well, I don't think... I mean, if we do make it to Chicago, it'll be a one-day trip.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't think that time will be spent with her just reading it in front of us.
Why not?
Yeah, to actually work it out.
Yeah.
A day and yeah, so... And then I had to get sick and lose some of my negotiation powers.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to take some time off this last week because of my back.
Yeah.
You did.
Yep.
And
to
I
go
to
the doctor and stuff.
For the plague.
Mike's the only one not ailing in some way.
Yeah, but I had 2 weeks of suffering.
Yeah.
That's
so.
True. Marty's just sick in the head.
As per usual.
I'm the only one not doing anything special for Thanksgiving either.
I'm not either, unless you count working.
I've got a long weekend, but...
I'm just going to the Doctor Who convention in Chicago.
You are?
Yes. Yep. It's out in Lombard, which sucks.
Yeah, it's not very much like Chicago, really.
No, it's a suburb. And I am going to hopefully be making it into the city once or twice to... go to Boys Town, go to the Daily Center Christmas Market.
Did you throw out that membership card that... Although that was more than a year ago, I guess.
So,
you'll just have to buy a new one.
There will be some comic stuff going on at the convention. You know, Doctor Who comics are big again. So one of the writers for the comics will be there. Just to tie it back to a little bit of comics, although I think we're probably wrapping it up here.
Yeah, we're talking about comics? What?
Yeah, I know. So,
speaking of Doctor Who, the specials are coming.
Yes, did you see Waters of Mars?
I haven't seen it yet. It's airing in December.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, airing in December.
Wait, you watch it on TV?
I'm
How archaic.
What is the word? Luddite.
So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the specials coming because it will mean that David Tennant and Russell T. Davis will be done.
Well, that's why I am so sad.
You're happy that they'll be done?
Not so much about Russell T. Davis, but David Tennant.
I am so happy.
Why?
To have Stephen Moffat and Matt Smith coming.
Yeah, I'm totally all for Stephen Moffat, but Tennant.
Stephen Moffat from the Renaissance Festival?
No.
What? I know a guy named Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat, the one who wrote Girl in the Fireplace.
He wrote all the best episodes.
Yeah.
Like, by far.
And Coupling.
Yes, and Coupling, and Press Gang, and so much of
the
stuff. Now, you're right. David Tennant is fine. I just don't like how he has been acting due to Russell's writing. You know? But the thing is that it doesn't matter who writes him. I'm a little tired of David Tennant.
He's still hot.
He just has too much of this, like, weight of the universe attitude.
You know, I don't really think he's that good. I'm over him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only seen a couple.
Bring on the next guy!
That's right.
Is the next guy hot?
The next guy is 24.
Well, that doesn't answer my question, does it?
You know, he's interesting looking.
He's got a very...
He's interesting looking.
Forehead, which probably means he's smart. But
Klingon?
Very, very big forehead.
He wears a bow tie.
All the pictures I've seen, and maybe he just tends to pose with his forehead towards the camera, which makes it look bigger.
Is he a Vulcan?
But I don't know. I just know big forehead.
He has a bow tie.
That's my impression of him so far. I've yet to see him actually speak or move or do anything. I've just seen pictures. And so that is all I know of him.
Yeah.
They should have the next doctor be a gay African American woman.
Well, they've already had the doctor be a woman.
I know.
Do they?
Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley. Patsy from FAB.
Yes, awesome. Best doctor ever.
I saw that on YouTube.
Is that in canon?
I thought that was funny. They also had Rowan Atkinson.
Yes.
It's not really in canon.
It should be in canon.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening and putting up with our
rambling.
Rambling and our technical difficulties.
This concludes our wonderful Wizard of Oz podcast.
It really
so
was very good.
Everyone, click your heels together.
3 weeks ago.
And let's click our heels together 3 times and hope that this recorded successfully.
There's no place like home. All right, good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
And good luck.